You're listening to The Ocho Man Behind the 8 Ball, only on Ignotainment. Without further ado, the one, the only, Ocho Man.
January 19, 2015, my friends, and the Ocho Man's got another podcast here. You know what I've been thinking for a while here? Let's get the Jimbo back onto the scene here. He served his suspension enough. Chris, he's paid the price, hasn't he?
He's paid the price, Ocho Man. He's definitely paid the price.
Yeah, right. He did write an essay. 250, was it 500?
I think it was 500.
500, he wrote it, and I kind of liked it. His grammar was a little off, but, you know, screw it. He's back on the show again. Jimbo, other known as Tonto, welcome back, my friend.
Welcome back, Jimbo.
Como esta, bitches?
That's what I'm talking about.
Very happy to be back. Very, very happy to be back. And just let me say that 500 words, you might exaggerate a little.
All right, was it 300? This is like the Maxwell Smart. Show.
Missed it by that much.
Missed it by, was it? Two words.
I'm sorry.
Nah, yeah, okay. All right. Whatever it was, we're glad to have you back on board here. Hey, did you catch any of the NFL action over the weekend, babe?
Did I? Let me tell you. Painful. Painful if you're a cheesehead.
Why was it painful?
Painful.
I thought it was beautiful.
Oh. You were on the Seattle bandwagon, or are you?
Well, I just thought it was act of God. That's all I got to say. Karma, act of God. And we knew that Green Bay was going down because the NFL brought them to that level. But God said, you are now back to your realm of the world. That is nothing. You are out of the playoffs, my friend, because you took the Dallas Cowboys down on some bullshit call.
So if I had a chance to talk to God about karma, would it, the same thing happen to the Cowboys the week before? Because they
absolutely
won
not
on a bad call, interference call. Is that karma too? I'm just asking. Hey,
I got to tell you this, though, Jimbo. Just asking. There was 8 minutes left in that game.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get into all that. I don't want to talk about that today. All right?
Okay. We're moving forward.
Act of God in my book, Green Bay loses 28-22. They had this game well under control, and boom! Green Bay goes down to Seattle Seahawks 28-22.
Act of God, you might be onto something there. I mean, did you see the way this thing went down? I mean, that might be the only explanation.
Oh, I seen it all right, and I had a box of tissues right next to me.
I mean, this guy, fourth and inches? I mean, not one time we're going to try to score there?
Well, you know what? That's what happens. And in our other big game here, I could have called this a mile away. Patriots versus the Colts at home, the Patriots. Do they ever lose at home? Tom Brady, he's a proven winner, my friends. He wins this one easily, 45-7. What a ass-whipping that was, huh?
Well, evidently. According to reports, it's much easier to carry the ball with authority if it's not blown up all the way.
Now, hold up here. Now, what you're saying is that they're bringing up a deflated ball. Okay, all right. They could have used a 15-pound shot put, and they still would have beat them 35-7, okay?
Oh, no, I'm agreeing with you, but that's my point. They're saying they deflated the balls, so I guess LeGarrette Blount, since the ball was deflated, he had just caused him to run all up and down the field on them, stutter step on their noses.
Unbelievable. I seen that, too. And they can't take anything away from that running game. Blount looked like he was the Marshawn Lynch.
He was beast mode.
I mean, he was just running over people there. It was beautiful scene, my friends. I love the Patriots in that game. And I had Blount in my fantasy team this year, too. Can you believe that shit?
Well, speaking of Blount, how was Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger, the Art Rooney fan, how were they feeling watching him run wild?
You know what, though? I just don't think that he wanted to play for that team.
Well, he wasn't good. Well, Bell obviously became the featured back. I mean, you know,
he said, screw it. You guys aren't going to give me the ball. I'll go somewhere. I'll just walk off the fucking field. He walked off the field, and boom, he finds his old Patriots again, and he's reunited with Belichick, and next thing you know, they're using him as the featured back. He's got over 150 yards, couple touchdowns, boom, there it is.
Okay, so the question now becomes, though, should they have let him walk, or should they just suspended him? You know, basically, the guy is a shit teammate, leaves, and now look, he's guys playing for a Super Bowl championship.
He's not a shit teammate. He's a competitor that wanted the ball. He wanted the ball like you wanted to be back on the show again, and you had the opportunity because we're giving you a second shot here, Jimbo. That's what it's all about here.
But I didn't walk out on you. When I got suspended, I was humbled. I was appreciative of my second opportunities here. I didn't take my ball and go home. How about that?
Well, I would have taken the ball and went home with it. But the Patriots, just to show how smart these guys are, how do you send out a guy 6'8", 330 pounds, Nate Solder, number 77? He reports to the referee and goes, "I'm an eligible receiver now." I mean, how the hell does the ref hold a straight face and go, "You're what?" "Yes, I'm the eligible receiver now."
But here's the thing. I agree with you. It seems crazy. But they've been doing this for 10 years, and nobody seems to understand that they got to keep an eye on these guys when they're eligible.
You're right about that.
They've been doing it for 10 years. I can't even remember the first. It was a linebacker, wasn't it, they did it with?
6'8", 330 pounds, and this guy catches a fucking leg of lamb, and he's 10, 15 yards away, and you see him hugging this thing like he just walked out of a buffet with food in his hand. He's just rumbling, stumbling, and then he forces him away. Boom! There's a touchdown. You can't go wrong with that. You get a big guy like that, he's going to take the food and run with it.
You get a touchdown by a big guy, you got to give a big guy dance. You know what it reminded me of? Remember Varsity Blues when Billy Bob?
Oh, Billy Bob.
Remember Billy Bob?
He was really big, though.
Yeah, but remember how he was bumbling, stumbling, and they were dragging him down? That's what it reminded me of. A little Billy Bob reference.
He was kind of real big, though. I mean, he looked disgustingly big.
Unhealthy.
And unhealthy. I don't even know how they got him to shoot that scene.
Definitely a young man scene, no doubt.
It couldn't have been a stunt man. You knew it was that pig. Anyway, in other news here, by the way, this is pretty interesting shit here.
Okay. What do you got for me?
Robert Allenby. Now, kick back and listen to this shit, okay?
Oh, yeah, this guy.
Robert Allenby, golfer, allegedly kidnapped, beaten, robbed while in Hawaii for Sony Open. Allenby was at a wine bar near Waikiki. Now, this is what gets humorous. This is great here. If there's anything humorous about this, it's this one right here. He went to the bathroom, and next thing you know, this is him talking, by the way. He went to the bathroom, and next thing you know, I'm being dumped in a park miles away. Now, that's his words, okay? Now, I want to know how the fuck you go to the bathroom, you pull out your willy to take a pee-pee, and next thing you know, you're at a park all beat up. Sounds a bit shanky to me, my friend. A little shonky, that is. Shonky, mate. That's Austrian.
Need to put another shrimp on the barbie.
That's an Augie word for something's not right there. Maybe you ran into a real pharaoh. That's another Augie word.
Hey, where are you pulling these out from?
I just looked up some Augie
words. Oh, Chia, getting after it.
And it just sounds suspicious here. I think he was out looking for something more than at the wine bar. Because how the hell you go to the bathroom, and then all of a sudden from the bathroom, you're at a park getting dumped, beaten up.
This wouldn't happen to be the type of establishment that has the glory holes in the bathrooms, would it be?
You know what? We can't say anything like that if it's not for real. Nothing's a fact here. But I'm just saying to you right now, Jimbo, this sounds a little bit sketchy. What do you think on this one, Chris?
Well, let's not start sucking each other's dicks quite yet.
Well, you've got a point there.
Well, I'm with producer Chris on this one. I think there's something definitely shady going on in the bathroom there in Waikiki.
Waikiki at a wine bar, supposedly. Supposedly.
If
allegedly,
you go to Waikiki, who's going to a wine bar in Waikiki? Hey. Aren't we drinking Mai Tais? And
to each their own. But, I mean, you know, something weird was going on with this guy. You know, whether it's one way or the other, you know, that just doesn't happen.
Chris, I mean, honestly, You're telling me you go to the bathroom, and then all I remember is I'm dumped at a park right after he goes to the bathroom. A
lot of gray area there.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever had that happen.
Unless it's, what's his name, George Michael's going to the bathroom. We heard of what happened with that guy one time, didn't he?
No, I think him and Boy George both.
Yeah, it's a whole different realm right there. I don't know about Allenby. I don't know. I mean, you know, the guy's obviously good.
We can't do that. We can't do that, Jimbo. There's not enough proof.
There's anything wrong with that.
Well, it says allegedly, so we're just playing with it on that note. I mean, nothing's been proven. We'll take his word that someone hit him with a club and got him out of the bathroom and took him to a park and beat the hell out of him there.
Well, we like to set odds on this show. What's the odds there's more to this story coming out in the next 7 to 10 days?
Well, you know, give me a couple days and I'll give you the line on this one.
But I'm going to go. No matter what the line is, I'm going to go ahead and say there'll be more coming out on this one.
You might be right on this one, buddy. UFC note here. UFC has fined John Jones $25,000 for testing positive for cocaine. Now check this out. December 4th. And they call this code of conduct. He voluntarily checks himself into a rehab all after the fight, on the big fight, and that was January 3rd.
Classic.
Now how the hell does the UFC now come out and they suspend this guy, or not suspend, I'm sorry, not suspend, they fine this guy $25,000. By the way, what the hell is $25,000 to John Jones after that pay-per-view fight?
That's a slap on the wrist, my friend.
I think it's Dana White just trying to say we've got everything under control here. Or do you? You really do have everything under control? I don't think you do, pal.
And the best part is, so the guy, you know, of course, it just in the same Robert Allenby type thing, okay, after the fight.
How the fuck comes, are you calling this?
Well, hang on. Okay. Same thing. Comes out. Says he's going to, you know, checking himself into rehab. Mm-hmm. He checks out one day later. More to this, I mean, come on. It's just like that.
One day.
Woo, I'm better. Woo, I feel great.
That did wonders.
Woo, boy, I don't need coke anymore.
I don't need a coke because I could sure use some of that crack.
Yeah, we're going to downgrade it a little bit to crack.
Yeah. But that's what we got there. And just so Dana White looks good for his UFC, he says, we find him $25,000. I'm not buying it. It's no big deal to me. I think, by the way, if you've seen that fight, which I did, Cormier, he looked like he was beating the shit out of him. And every time John Jones got into a problem, he held him. So I wouldn't mind seeing that rematch again. Maybe Jones being clean, and we may see a different fight.
They got to stop all that pushing on each other. That was kind of my first. You know, you guys were nice enough to invite me over. That was my first foray into the whole thing. Really enjoyed the beginning, but when he realized that this guy was coming after him, all that leaning and all that, they ought to not be able to do that.
You know what? And here's another thing too. That's great. You're bringing up something that's been on my mind too. Stop looking like it's some sort of a gay scene on the ground there.
Come on.
I mean, get the ref back in here. Get him separated again and let him go at it.
Come on. Hey, guy, get off the top and boom.
Boom. There you go. All they're doing is having sexual intercourse on the bottom. Get him up. Stand him up and let him go at it again.
Absolutely. I think so.
You know what? When UFC first started, it was great, and I'll tell you why. Because you always had, like, a tale of the tape. You had one guy that was a karate guy taking on a boxing guy. And they didn't look at any weight or anything. I'm telling you, no bullshit. I don't know if you ever caught the first fights they had. But they had this, like, 400-pound Kamala-looking black guy. And this little skinny little twerp guy, he was like 5'6 or something, skinny guy.
See, now I'd like to see that.
And they fought. They fought. This was part of the UFC. And by the end of the night, there were like 8 fighters or 10 fighters. They all hooked up. And at the end of the night, they had one big match. So they kept going back and forth. They fought all night. That's what UFC was all about. Yeah. But now it's becoming more of a WWE or whatever that wrestling stuff is, you know?
Hey, do you remember Hoist Gracie?
Yes.
How great was Hoist Gracie, man? That guy could beat anybody.
I got to tell you this, though. I was never on his side, though. Yeah. I was always the guy that – I wasn't a Hoist Gracie fan like Jimbo isn't, because We don't want to see that guy laying on the ground hoping. And that's what that guy was.
He was a badass, though.
Oh, he was a badass. And he wanted you to go after him while he was on the ground. So I see what you're saying there. But I was the kind of guy like a Tank Abbott. If you guys remember Tank Abbott, he was a big guy that just said, come on, let's just fucking fight.
I like right there.
That was the beauty of it. So, you know, we got that. UFC is fining him 25G. I don't think it's a big deal. Fining him $25,000, and then they call it code of conduct of the UFC. Yeah. It's getting a little bit of a joke. I just can't wait for that big fight coming up here in boxing between Pacquiao and Mayweather. This is going to be a great one, my friends. I'm really pumped up about that one.
You don't think it's too little too late?
No. I still think pound for pound, they're the number one and number two fighters in that division. So,
but wouldn't have been a better fight 3-4 years ago?
Okay, but you know what? I still think they're active. You're going to see a good fight, okay? Don't fucking ruin it here, Jimbo.
No, I'm asking the question.
I'm buying it.
I'm buying it.
Well, you can't have two guys buying it. I think.
No, I'm buying.
You're buying it. I'm coming over to your house then.
Oh, you mean buying. I thought we were just buying idea. Okay, no, I'll let you buy it. There
right,
we go.
I'll buy it.
For what you pay me to do this show, you're buying it.
Okay,
sure. Okay.
Great.
All right.
NBA news. God, the New York Knicks suck. The New York Knicks just absolutely suck.
This is terrible.
Oh, they are. They are. My Sixers are even playing better than the Knicks. And they asked Spike Lee, their number one fan, by the way. They asked him, are you going to London to watch the Knicks play against the Milwaukee Bucks? His words, we've lost 16 motherfucking games in a row, 26 out of 27, and I'm going to get on a plane for that? I can't take a cab to see them play, much less a damn plane.
They're terrible.
I mean, how could they even ask the guy that? You know, that's crazy.
And he is their biggest fan.
Oh, the guy's been through so much. And you know what? Just one time for him, I'd like to see the Knicks do something. But I tell you, Spike's got the wrong team. He's got to jump on board. I'm telling you right now, I like Chicago this year. I think Chicago can do a lot of damage in that. Another team that I've been on this team, Jimbo, since day one this year, from last year, and that is Memphis Grizzlies. I love the Memphis Grizzlies, and they're going off the board right now. Now, last week they were going off at 18-1 to win the championship. The world champions, I'm telling you, 18-1, they're already leading the West. I think they're up by one or two games, or if not that, they're tied up. You just can't go wrong with a number like that, 18-1. So they're not a sexy team. Who gives a shit? They play good. They play solid. They play together. And when you got that type of chemistry, like George Allen once said, all 40 men do their job, there's no way we can lose. And I hate George Allen because I'm a Cowboy, and that was a Redskin coach. But moving on.
No, they're terrible, but you're right. You know what I like, though, about the NBA? We're seeing new blood. Golden State, Oklahoma City, Memphis. I love it.
It's not the same old team. Well, here's the thing that gets to me, though. It's really big. It's not a one-team domination like it used to be in the NBA.
Yeah.
The NBA used to be ruled by the Bulls, by the Lakers, by Boston, and possibly Miami. But now you're seeing a mixture of every team is involved here. Any team can beat you any given day except for the fucking Knicks. And now my Sixers have come around, too. They're playing good ball. I'm telling you right now, there is a lot of variety in this NBA right now, and it's a good mixture. I welcome it.
Yeah, it's good for the sport. It's good for the fan base, good for the sport. Now, those big cities, you know, obviously I'd say the Cleveland people are a little underwhelmed. I mean, they were probably expecting more. You know, obviously New York is hurting. Chicago, as well as they're doing, they'd like to feel a little more confident about Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Laker fan, you got to be wondering what is going on here.
Yeah, the Lakers definitely. I mean, you're a high-profile team. You have to get your shit together over there. And management, I don't think, has went out and brought in the big-time players. You need to support Kobe. And here's the thing. I don't think a lot of these big-timers like playing with Kobe.
Well, no. I mean, why would you? He ran Shaq off. He's run, I mean, he's run him all off.
Every time I see the guy, though, he's doing something good. I mean, he's always a team player.
How do you know? You didn't play with him.
I see him. I see him on the goddamn TV. They always show him. But he looks good. He doesn't play with his cock and balls like the rest of them. He's always...
You don't know what he does in private.
Oh, I don't know, but he had that hot chick in Colorado.
Why don't you call Dwight Howard and ask him why he's not in L.A.?
Dwight Howard is not a team player.
That's fine, but so the thing is, who are you going to bring in there? What high profile free agent were you going to bring?
I'm telling you who I'm bringing. I'm bringing Max Scherzer, the pitcher for Detroit.
Broke my heart.
Who has signed a 7-year. $180 million contract. Can you give me something that's worth $180 million there, Chris?
$180 million? He doesn't have anything worth $180 million, for Christ's
sake. No, he's got a sound effect somewhere. There's that cha-ching.
Jesus Christ.
One more.
He could do this for an hour.
Yeah, that's true. $180 million with Washington Nationals.
Oh, we don't play that.
Now, this is according to Ken Rosenthal, which comes from a real reliable source. Fox Baseball, and that's $24 million and some change, which, by the way, I could live off that some change. That's a lot of cash, my friends. A lot of cash.
Did I see somewhere where it could possibly be worth $200 million with incentives?
You're kidding.
No, I thought I saw
that. Why the fuck did I say, are you kidding? Well, I can't believe the 180, and you're telling me to. Yeah, I can believe that. Why the hell can't I believe that?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
I love Max Scherzer. Yeah. God, I just wanted him on the Cardinals so bad.
You're not paying anything in St. Louis for something like that.
I know. That's just not their way.
St. Louis does not work like that.
But they got a pretty good thing going.
You've got... In baseball, what teams do you think are dynasty right now? That you think? I'm telling you right now that New England Patriots, there is no other team.
Not even close.
I'm a big Cowboy fan, I'm telling you. But there is no way you can – there is no team in football history. I'm going to tell you right now, there's not one team that's as close to the New England Patriots.
Think about the day Drew Bledsoe went down on the sidelines. Remember that?
Oh, blessing.
You know what? But here's the thing, and this is what's the most impressive thing about the Patriots. They haven't done this with like this huge core group for the last 9 years. There's only been three constants there. Okay? It starts with the owner. It comes down to Billy Boy, Belichick, and Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
The other pieces have moved around. They've done all this kind of stuff, but they're the definition of kind of like you're saying that the Cardinals aren't going to pay a pitcher, or whatever. Can't argue with their success. They're not going to pay these high profile receivers, running backs. They look at it like we're going to put the big boys up front, and we'll get some guys to play in our system,
right?
Because we got Tom Brady,
and they always find the guys. They always find the guys. Now, yeah, I'm back to the Patriots again, but I'm telling you, it's such a story that you can't avoid.
No, it's
because
you got
a team that always picks up another team's reject, kind of like an old fading star, and they just say, this is the way we do it here. Will you be a part of it? If the guy says yes, I mean, next thing you know, I hate to bring up Blunt again, but
yeah.
But here's a guy that played for the Patriots, went away to the Steelers. You would have thought after the Steeler thing, you would have said, I don't want this guy on my team. Huh? The Patriots said, come on back. He comes back, and my God, he's playing out of his mind. And I know they had Ocho Cinco, Chad Ocho Cinco, but you know what? They said it's not going to work.
They did. When they had Randy Moss the first time, did real well. When
beautiful.
They, that's right.
Randy Moss
that's
did
right.
great.
That's right. And then all of a sudden, he was trending down a little bit. Guess what? We're not going to hang on to him. You're out. They brought him back again, and it wasn't working. Out. See, they don't mess around.
And when these players leave, it's amazing they don't talk bad about the Patriots.
Isn't that amazing? You would think,
even when they get the slip, the yellow slip, they still give a big thumbs up to the New England Patriots. And they just, it's unbelievable. They do everything right there. And like I was saying, though, You're looking at. I believe this is a true dynasty could only be compared to by the New York Yankees.
New York Yankees.
I mean, this is just some of the World Series here. I think they won in 32, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. Not 40, 41, 43, 47, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53. I mean, that's a fucking dynasty, man. And the only team in professional sports that I can compare that up with is probably getting to be, if New England wins this time, I'm going to say they are equivalent to the old New York Yankees.
I mean, this is, are we going on, 15 years, right? Basically, they've been.
Yeah.
They've been.
And how many years, how many times have we said, oh, this is it? Brady's old.
Well, Brady's old. It's like, God, you look at, you watch a game, and right. Boy, you know what they love to do? And this is, they love to get some little spunky white guy and stick him out there and say, catch him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop him.
Yeah.
And can't do it.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. Whatever Belichick does over there, he turns a big time player into a blue collar humble player, and they work good together. It's a great team.
Hey, here's another thing. How many teams out there, okay, could lose an up and coming star like Aaron Hernandez and not miss a beat?
No, there's no question.
I mean, question. I mean, this guy was a good player.
I don't even remember him now.
He was a good player.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, you would have thought that was their demise.
I mean, you know, when him and Gronkowski were on the opposite sides, it was like, God, how do you stop these guys? They lose this guy. Oh, there you go. He's hurt. Or he's done. Gronkowski's hurt. Oh, they lost Welker. And where are they at? Yeah. Championship game.
Championship game again.
You know?
Well, after the game last night, I went out to the porch. I was kicking back. I had a cigar. I had my scotch out there just reflecting on the two games. I got to tell you this. This is going to sound crazy, but...
It was nice.
It was like 55
yeah,
degrees.
Yeah, for January. Right? What a nice night. Yeah.
I guess that's that melting... what is
it?
What the fuck are they calling that? Where bears are
Global warming.
Global warming. Yeah, the polar bear.
Yeah, the polar bear comes up from the down from the
south.
Well,
no, that's not it. They're losing their ice.
Yes,
they can't walk on ice anymore.
Right. Yeah.
So you know it's rough on them. But I tell you what, it was really nice weather last night. I kicked back outside. You're not gonna believe this shit. I got to tell you this. This is gonna sound crazy. But I swear I seen something just fly above my head like a star or something. I thought, you know what, it probably a shooting star, but I said, man, if that was an alien ship, how sweet would it be for them to pick my ass up and take me on a little voyage?
Why would they want to take you?
I could really invent shit up there.
Why would they want you?
I'm telling you right now. I could invent shit up there, like football, baseball. I can make a lot of stuff happen. With those one-eyed bastards up there, they got nothing going on. Their sports are probably boring up there. I would introduce them to all our games down here.
How do you know they've got one eye? Maybe they got four.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you know, interestingly enough for you to say that, the Air Force released some files.
What are you talking about?
130 pages of declassified UFO documents were released today.
Those pricks.
Yeah, and you know, interestingly enough, the big event that supposedly happened in 47 in Roswell, New Mexico, nowhere to be found on here. What we got here is they released a whole bunch of, I saw a green light across the sky moving in a weird pattern, and then it was gone. That's what we got.
How did you do that with your voice?
Did that sound good?
Yeah, well, you sound.
I'm working. I've been off. You know, I've been suspended, so I've been working on my game, so to speak.
Chris said the suspension might have done him some good, huh?
Yeah, I think it's all around been upside for everybody here.
You know what?
He's back though. I mean, man, he's back strong.
I got to tell you, Jimbo, it wasn't really me that suspended you.
Oh,
it was Chris. He said get rid of him.
I didn't want to have to. Chris, what did I do to you? Air. But, you know, sometimes you just got to put your foot down.
He's
my
henchman.
You got to put the best product you can on the air.
Yeah. And,
and in all reality, there was a strategy behind it the whole time. I thought, see, he'll have a little
bit of
suspense.
We would make you hungry.
Yeah, exactly.
So hence the voice.
Starve a wolf.
Hence the voices, right?
Starve a wolf for a week.
Yeah. Yeah. But
Well, anyway, the thing here is, and what I find interesting is, you know, they're releasing documents from as way back as 1947, and basically what they're saying is that, well, we've had quite a few people say they've seen things. We don't have any evidence suggesting there's any thing going on.
They don't believe that there's any
UFOs?
Well,
that's what they say. And, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I mean, I'm sure I'm the, knowing the two intellects in the room that I'm with, I'm probably the only one. But, I mean, I don't believe in it. Do
are
you?
Are you kidding? Fuck yeah. Why? There's so many galaxies out there,
where
man.
Where are they then? I mean, I've been on this Earth for 45 years.
I got to tell you this.
Where are they?
Why the fuck would they come here? All the shit happening just the other day or yesterday, you'd seen another beheading. I don't need that shit. If I'm an alien, I'm looking down going, hey, Bob, you think we really want to go to this shit? I mean, look at these fuckers. They kill each other left and right.
So your opinion is they've been here or they're here they don't want anything to do with it.
Like I really think that they got a couple scouts down here that are reporting, hey man, no, keep the mothership up there, not ready for that. These fucking people are crazy, man.
So you got the Men in Black thing going. You think they're meandering around among us?
I got to tell you, that why wouldn't you think that? I mean, you're observing as an alien. You look at the Middle East, all they're doing is killing each other. You look at Europe, they're starving now. You look at Africa, they're killing each other. I mean, man, this whole place is going down in hell, man. And why would an alien say, oh, do I really want to come here? Is this what we want?
I don't know what they want.
Now, Chris, what the fuck are you playing at? Are you making them like I'm nuts or something? I'm telling you.
That's the Twilight Zone, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying to you right now that there's aliens out there that are looking in and saying, man, we just don't want it. We just don't want it. It was very cool when Jimi Hendrix was around. We were getting into the shit then. Everyone was the hippies. Everyone was looking cool. Yeah, Joe Namath was fur jacket throwing. That's when the aliens were up and around.
Hanging
like,
out a little more.
Yes, and now it's like, fuck this. We're not going down there. They're crazy. They're absolutely insane down there.
So you're of the belief that just a few here and keeping an eye on us, and they don't like what they see.
And I'm telling you what, a couple more scotches I would have had last night, I probably would have made contact with those little pricks.
Do you think you've been, I mean, have they, I mean, do you feel like maybe they've checked you out?
Well, I think they have, and they probably like what they've seen. They probably want to use me for breeding up there.
Breeding?
Breeding. I've stated before that I would probably be
like a stud.
Like a bull up there. If they took me up there, I would be screwing every little green thing that they threw my way.
How do you know that's how they do it? Maybe they multiply through masturbation.
I don't know about all that, Jim. Well, now Chris is laughing his ass off. What the fuck does that mean? I mean, master, you can only go so far by masturbating.
Well, you've got this erotic trip planned up to one of the spaceships to have sex
erotic with
all these aliens.
It would be definitely erotic. I'm telling you that right now.
How do you think it goes down?
If it was multiplication by masturbation, man, there'd be millions of those little motherfuckers running around.
Oh, they're there.
How do you envision this going down?
Well, not like you do, watching late-night Cinemax on that.
I'm saying, what if that was the case? Your plans would be ruined.
No, I think they would use me as some sort of a, like a god figure.
Oh.
I would tell them, I'd bullshit and say I represent Earth. I'm the king of Earth, and hopefully they buy into it. But that's what we got on that one. What do you think on that?
You lost me at you're the king of Earth.
All right, whatever.
You lost me at king of Earth.
Well, if my friends out there...
The King of Earth needs to give out some locks. Well, how about that?
I got
hot as you are right now, everybody's waiting on the next lock. Take a bow. Oach, take a bow.
All right, I'll bow. That's my bow. I've got my scotch up in the air here. I got my two plays for tonight, one NHL and one in NBA, my friends.
We like.
Can I get a drum roll here, Chris?
I mean, give it to him, Chris.
Thanks, I like his drum roll.
Well, it sounds like the opening to Panama. Oh,
okay, shaking my scotch here. All right, we've got St. Louis Blues tonight. against Colorado. St. Louis is at home, and I've been riding their bandwagon for a couple weeks now, and I like them tonight. They're minus 220, so what? St. Louis Blues win tonight. And on the other end here, on the over 5.5, forget about it. I see this one being a 5-2 or 5-3 game. Ooh. St. Louis Blues.
Blowing the over out of the water. I like it. You're right.
I like St. Louis here.
They're firing right now on all cylinders.
Yeah, they are, buddy. They got everything going their way. I like St. Louis tonight. Chris gave me a great kickback on St. Louis a couple weeks ago. He said, I really like them. And I said, you know what, I think I'm down with you on this one. And we gave it out, and they just blew the over and under off the map on that one. And we're gonna ride them again today, tonight, actually. St. Louis over 5.5 at a 5-2 or 5-3. Our next one is NBA action. L.A. Lakers versus the Phoenix Suns. Now, this spread right now is minus 10.5. I see this being really lopsided here. I'm looking at this one being 115-89, 92 type of game here. I look for Phoenix to win this one and win this one decisively. Now, the 212, I'm not too sure about on the over on that one, but if I was to play it, I'd play a little bit on the over on that one, 212, but I don't know if the Lakers can score over 100 here. I'm looking at Phoenix with a big win here. Like I said, I'm looking at this one being possibly a 113-90 game. Something in that line there, my friends. You're seeing a blowout by Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, the Lakers are done.
Lakers just are not playing good ball. And what else we got going, guys? Anything else tonight?
I got confirmation here. The Scherzer deal is actually $210
million. Oh, $210 million. I'm sorry.
$30 million average.
$30 million average.
For a pitcher every 5 days.
Jesus Christ, that's a lot of moolah. That's a lot. And you know what? It goes to show you, in my days, I used to wear my Pete Rose jersey. And, I mean, you had loyalty amongst the fans, the players. They all worked good together. Now, you know what? Here's a poor Detroit kid that's saying, we lost Matt Scherzer. I don't know what to do with this jersey anymore. Well, sorry, kid. Money talks, bullshit walks. And the guy, he knows he's not going to be around the next 8-9 years. Get your money while it's here.
That is just crazy.
It's crazy, but that's what it's all about. Teams are paying this type of money, and why wouldn't you take it? I think Charles Barkley once said it the best. I am not your role model here, my friends. Let your mom and dad be your role model. I'm here for the goddamn money.
That's right. Going to work.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. All right, my friends, I think we've had a great show. Chris, would you like to give our little sponsors a shout-out?
Yeah, the first thing you need to do on the iTunes store under the podcast, you need to leave a review, a rating. You know, if you have any input or some questions or comments,
leave a sort of review.
Yeah, you can find the Ocho Man on Facebook at Ocho Man. Just search in the Facebook search bar for Ocho Man. And, you know, send us an email at OchoMan@OchoMan.com.
I'm telling you, my friends, our show needs you. Give us a review. Give us a comment. Subscribe to this Ocho Man Behind the Eight Ball. You can't go wrong with it. We've got other great shows on this Igno whatever.
Yeah, if you go to the Ignotainment Media Network.
Yeah,
Ignotainment.com. You can find all of our great shows. Everything from the Whiskey Philosopher to Youth Baseball Talk to a great show for Halo players. So
I tell you what, and Jim.
Yes.
Jimbo runs what's that show that he's doing?
Yeah, we'll have to give a shout out here for Jim. His show is Youth Baseball Talk with Jim Cromer. He has discuss it for a minute, Jim. Give a little
give a shout
props,
out there, Jim.
Shout out to your own show.
Since we screwed you and suspended you, what the hell? Give a little shout out. Make it short though, because I don't want to hear about your show.
Yeah, it's great. It's just something I like to do. I like baseball a lot, and obviously my kids are involved, and inspired by the Ocho Man here, how he's brought his stuff to podcast, I thought, you know what? I'm going to try to get some information out to people because they seem to want it of maybe some of the better stuff that's going on. I think youth sports in general, I think, get a bad rap. And, you know, I thought for baseball, I see a lot of bad stuff going on out there, and blessed to know some people that are trying to make a difference. And I just thought, you know, it'd be worth it. But it's done real well, and I'm happy, and I appreciate you guys bringing it up.
Yeah, a little shout out to Jimbo's show there. All right, my friends from Jimbo and Chris, Ocho Man, we will see you next time on Ocho Man Behind the 8-Ball. Ocho Man is out of here.
It ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go. Come on.
You're listening to The Ocho Man, Behind the 8-Ball, only on Ignotainment.